Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. In 1990, Lech Walesa made the observation that Americans are drifting away from spiritual values as they become richer. He said that sooner or later we will have to go back to our fundamental values, back to God, the truth, which is in God. And then he made a most interesting statement. He says, "We look to America and we expect from you a spiritual richness to meet the aspirations of the 20th century." Whenever we get off track, we need to pause, gather ourselves, and redirect our course to get back in the right direction. Some years ago, when I was out a time for directing with the Young Americans, and we were in Dowagiac. Dowagiac is just a fun name to say. Dowagiac. I didn't know how to say it for many years. But in Dowagiac, there's a lot of streets, and it's not like northwest, east, west, north, south, east, west. It's like add all the letters together. And where the house that we were staying at, Homestead, went to the school, and we went back that night. The next day we start going, and I'm going, this isn't the right way, because where there was curves, there's now straights. And where there's straights, there's now curves. And so we had to stop, go back, and retrace our steps to get to the appointed goal of the high school at Dowagiac. Churches need to do the same thing from time to time. We can have a vision statement and a mission statement, but they still might need to be adjusted as the church progresses and grows, and as God puts upon the heart what it expects from that church as he seeks to be an influence in the community. Vision and mission statements relate to what a church does. Core values speaks of what a church is and should be like. Our core values are what people should see, and we should be mindful to display these things wherever we gather together and wherever we are. Core values exhibit our character and exist not only in the place where we worship, but are to be evident in our everyday lives. In addition, we cannot fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with any other church body. Each will have their own character and personality, and we certainly do not want to grade ourselves by the standards of the world. Gordon MacDonald said this, "I think we need to be constantly reminded that Jesus, by the standards of cultural success models, was a miserable failure." So today we're going to step back a little bit and look at the core of grace. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time to look at the things that you put upon our hearts many years ago now to be, so that people might see something in us that draws them to you. And so as we do so, Father, would you encourage us? Would you inspire us? Maybe even illuminate lethargic tendencies we can have as we go through daily routines. May we see that it's much more important than that, because you are at the heart of all that we do, not just here, but out in the world especially. So we ask your blessing on this time in Christ's name. Amen. Normally, I would be saying, please turn your Bibles to this, and we put a number in your bulletin. But in the core values of grace, there are biblical reasons for each one, and I pulled out one for each one, and I want you to take the time to write them down. Take the time to put the references there to remind yourself. Tear it off at the end as you complete it. Have it graded with the star at the end. And then put it on your refrigerator, too, to know these are important things that we're to do. The Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary defines core as this: a central and often foundational part, usually distinct from the enveloping part by a difference in nature, like the core of a city. Core of a city is different than that just what's outside. In order for grace to be distinct and to make a difference in the community, I felt and knew that it had to have core values. In fact, our core values were in place before even one worship service was held, even back to the time in November in our home, which a few of you were a part of before we went to the school. I felt God was impressing upon me the importance of character rather than allowing grace's character to just randomly develop. Our core values were adapted with permission from a book by Bob Russell. James and Roland and I got to meet Bob Russell at the Michigan Christian Convention a few years ago. I had been to Bob Russell's church down in Louisville, Kentucky, where he had pastored for many years, a small church, about 17,000 people. Felt like a basketball stadium. But you know what? It is one of the most intimate times of worship and teaching that I think we had ever experienced. It was powerful. You don't have to be small to be intimate. It depends upon the people that are there. He pastored that church, and he's now retired, and he goes around encouraging other people. But he wrote this book called When God Builds a Church. Now, even from the title, you get a sense of who is at the helm. It's God. When God builds a church, it cannot be upon man. He's a very humble man. And people in leadership need to be humble, realizing that God is the head of this church. Our responsibility is and pleasure is to be still and let God reveal himself, to know that he is God, to affirm that we are not God and allow him to lead. These 10 words, our core values, are not church growth principles. Please understand that, you know. But they will help a church grow when they're lived out. And it's good to be reminded of them from time to time. These core values are not so much of a how-to as they are a why we do what we do and what people should see. And understand they're not in any order of importance, just in the order of the chapters that Bob did in the book. The first value of grace is this: truth. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, says 2 Timothy 3:16. At Grace, we will teach truth. God's word is truth. My opinion doesn't really matter. Second Opinions, chapter 3, verse 5, does not exist. Sometimes church exists on its traditions, on its opinions, and doesn't divert or focus much on God's truth. And they put things on churches that really shouldn't be there. But they sound good, and they sound holy, and they sound legalistic, so let's put it in there and make it really hard. Faith is hard enough without adding a lot of legalistic terms to it. We believe there is such a thing as absolute truth, but it does not come from human origin or reasoning. God has declared his word as truth, and as such, we have a responsibility to teach it that people might live it, and to teach it in a way that people understand. My desire is not to impress you with my knowledge. And they say even in seminary, don't be so quick to throw out the Greek. You know, that doesn't mean anything. Yes, New Testament written in Greek, Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic, but who cares? Why separate? Well, you know, we want to understand this letter that God has given to us, this love letter from beginning to end. Second core value is worship. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Jesus said in John chapter 4, we are called to worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is more than the singing we do when we gather together each week. In fact, when I went into years ago, it is years ago now, when I was a director of worship at the church in Reno, Nevada, we sang Glorify Thy Name one Sunday. Father, and then Son, Spirit, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. At the end of that time, my boss, Pastor Greg, came up to me and said, we shouldn't be singing Spirit. Some of you might be wondering why we didn't sing Spirit. Because a lot of churches sing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that song. He said the reason is nowhere in the Bible does it say for the Holy Spirit to glorify himself. Nowhere in God's word is it indicated that the Spirit is glorified. But there is scripture that says the Spirit glorifies the Father, the Spirit glorifies the Son. We can't sing something that sounds religious and warming when it's not truth. And since that time, I've always made sure that it's whited out. Just because it sounds religious or holy or faithful doesn't mean it is. And so my intent in going to seminary was to do my responsibilities as a worship leader better so that we might worship corporately in spirit and in truth. And so evaluate even the songs that we sing by God's truth. There's other songs that if you want to, we'll have coffee and we'll talk about it. It's a lifestyle, though. This is what the core value is talking about, a lifestyle involving God in every aspect of our lives. Constant relating. I must look like a schizophrenic because I'm always talking to God throughout the day. I'm praising him for something. I'm asking, what should I do? Where should I go? I really do. I do. In my head is constantly thinking of God as much as I can, as much as I remember. I don't want to be out of God's presence because I'm never out of God's presence. So why not acknowledge him as far as in life to do those things? I'm not so timid as in the Twilight Zone where you go and you put a penny and you get a fortune and you're afraid to leave town, for those who are familiar with Black and White and the Twilight Zone. It's a constant affirming. It's a constant affirming that he is there as primary position in life, my life. I love the fact that I am not the most important person in my wife's life. I am her husband. I am her friend. I have been such for many years. But the first person in her life is God. The first person in her life is Christ. And it should be. And if it's not, it would worry me. Just as she desires to see Christ first in my life and not to let anything else crowd or overtake that. It is in worship, a worshipful life, when we leave her especially, is purposeful living, that I don't leave God here. I take him with me and involve him in every... I'm even so sad as I'm driving behind someone who's driving slow and I'm praying, God, please make them turn left. Let them turn left. Let them turn left. I don't... Oh, they're going straight. I'll even have fun with it. But I want him to know I'm thinking about him all the time. Third core value, leadership. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Wow. As those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. We are called to develop Christian-centered leaders, men and women who lead by Christ's example by displaying a servant's heart, serving with purity, sincerity, and humility. When Grace started, biblical leadership has elders, the plurality of elders, not one person, but men, plural, coming together. There is the deacons, who I believe Scripture teaches and shows can be men or women, or men and women, deacon and deaconesses. There is an authority, but the authority is under Christ. Christ is the head of the church. When we started this church, we had Dan Billings, Roland Drummond, and myself. And that really was the eldership. But the goal was always to bring laymen into that leadership role so that we are biblical in what we're doing. And it took about 3 years before we saw the discernment who God was raising up as leaders in this church. Bill Hetchler is our elder chair. Next to him, Kevin Knickerbocker, elders. That is a tough job, people. That's a very difficult job. And it took time before God revealed that. Tom Honan is an elder. Roland and I are considered elders in this church. James, although a pastor, is not. Not because of age, not because of qualification. It's just that you don't want to have, 60 elders. You the need is met. And you have deacons. Deacons are the people in this church who have committed to the work of God. They have a deacon's heart to work. We had, at one time, 8 or 9 deacons and deaconesses. It's narrowed down because people are not stepping up willing to involve themselves to work, or they're too busy, or they, for whatever reason. But we don't thrust people into leadership roles that are not ready, nor are they maybe willing to. And we always give the option of people to not assume the role. We ask each year for recommendations from the body. Who do you see? And we put the qualities of a deacon in there. Who do you see in this? And we rely upon that because that's what they did in the first century. That's what they did in Jerusalem and in early Acts, if you read about it. We don't vote upon them because corporate voting in churches doesn't exist in God's word. When God raises up leaders, the responsibility is to recognize them as God shows them and to affirm them. To put it out there, do we see things where they're disqualified and trust that? I don't believe in filling positions just because we have one that's necessary to be filled. We don't have anyone in the nursery because no one's raised up and said, I have a heart to look after young ones. We have a hard time at times, you know, even for toddlers, because if there's not a heart to do it, putting someone in the nursery who doesn't like babies is hard for the baby. I don't care about the adult, but I wouldn't want to put my grandson there. But God will reveal those people. When they do, we listen to it. But we never beg. We never guilt. But we do listen to the heart. Do not seek a leadership position for visibility or influence, but in order to answer a call in your life placed there by God. I entered into ministry kicking and screaming, feeling unqualified, feeling that I didn't measure up, feeling like all those things, until Pastor Greg says, it's not about you, it's about him. Others saw the call upon my life, and I had to surrender that call. Man, what a ride ever since. Sometimes tough, but always, he's always there. The responsibility is great, as one day we will give account. Clarence is our deacon's chair. We would love more deacons as they would come up because there's a need for that. It's not just a title. It is involving yourself in the work of the church. And some, I will tell you, do the work anonymously. They never toot their own horn. They never put a sign done here by so-and-so. I treasure that in people. But God's got to raise that up within you. And if he does, you need to answer that because he's going to nag at you. Excellence is the fourth core value that we have at Grace. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We seek to involve ourselves in ministry that shows our very best. Excellence is not so much striving for perfection as it is giving the very best of ourselves in all that we do. Let's be truthful. No one really celebrates and appreciates mediocrity or something that's just kind of okay, so-so. How is that? Oh, it was so-so. You got to put your best out for God. But it's not perfection. It's putting the heart there. In all things, we will seek to do our very best and in turn give God all the glory. We say that, but we also mean it. This year, or 2 years ago, we involved ourselves in the CRIM. And we had Deb and Lori Jane headed that up, Deb, Bill's daughter. And we had volunteers. We brought in, 2,000 water bottles and put labels on them and Grace. And you know, there was a lot of work that was going on. And we had all yellow shirts, except for me, because they didn't have my size. Come as you are, you'll be welcome at Grace. I got a black one. You know, black sheep of the family always gets that. Anyway, so we had a great couple days, and we gave out water bottles, had a little putting game, and the ring toss of Satan that you had to do and try and get it on there. It's just still hard. Go to the kids' room if you don't believe me. It was really well involved seeing these volunteers in hula hoops and stuff and doing it. This year we put it out there. Four people, I think, responded, wanted to help out. Four people. Now, those four people would be very capable to go there, to put up the tent, to spend the time and connect with the community. But we said no. If we can't do with excellence, we will not do it at all. If people are not going to rise up to volunteer to help out, you can't wait for the other person to do it. It's not right to do. Just because we put it out there. We have right now trunk or treat to put out there for Halloween. An alternative to all the ghouls and goblins and things that we're going to do in the parking lot. It's been talked about for, what, 3 years at least, three different times? No one stepped up to do it. When I was felt convicted after talking to a young man this week, I said, we're going to step out and do it in faith, and made actually an insert. The minute it was seen, Lori Jane Graybill says, I want to lead that. Great. And so she is. And so far, there's one slip that's been returned. I don't want to guilt people into doing it, but, you know, if we don't get enough participation, you know, one car out there with candy is not going to be very impressive, you know. If we don't get that, then we won't do it. Because God calls us to do things with excellence, not with guilt, but a heart to participate and do things well. Fifth core value is faith. Comes from Colossians 1:23. But you must continue to believe this truth, faith is talking about, and stand in it firmly. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed by God to proclaim it. Faith requires vision. Faith requires courage. Faith requires the willingness to do what God has placed before us, realizing that when he calls, he also equips. The equipped are not always called, by the way. But when he calls you, he will also equip you for the task that's ahead. Wonderful milestones in life take place where faith is evident. I think Grace, this building, is one of those mile marks of faith. We had a person lead that was a paid staff person. And rather than filling that with another paid staff person, we decided to find a permanent structure because being in a school, loading out, even though Ken loved it each week, loading the trailer, unloading the trailer, having a location that was permanent would make sense and it would seem to show stability. By faith, we found about this building, sent out letters to everyone we knew, and by faith, we got in over $12,000 that allowed us to complete the deal to buy. And we didn't put an offer in till we had the full amount to put the offer in because the building cost $118,000. By faith, we continue each week trusting that people are going to come, be excited about God's word, and tell other people that the church might grow. Why? Because they need to hear the good news of Christ. We need to fill it with people who don't know Christ, not just shifting the sheep around, but get the goats and transform them and see the excitement of what goes on. We desire to be people of faith, to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust God even when we don't see it happening. Sixth core value is harmony. To exhibit harmony means to exist in unity or agreement. The psalmist in 133:1, a song of ascents of David, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Man, what's the unity? Focusing on the things of God. Not what I want to do, not what I don't want her to do or don't want him to do or this person bugs me, but focusing in on what God wants to do and then do it together. We serve, we're going to talk about our mission statement and vision statement another Sunday here, but it says in our mission statement, serve in community. That means serving together. Harmony is so important. It's not forsaking truth for harmony. Sometimes you got to deal with things. Colossians 3:14, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Christians get too offended too easily. That's not putting on the bond of love. Bowing to someone's pressure or influence is not putting on the bond of love. Sometimes we gotta love people even when they irritate us. We do that with family, and this is a family. Work it out. Talk about it. Be honest about it, but be speaking truth and love. Because truth without love is brutal, but love without truth is hypocritical. And we're saying one thing, we're turning and doing another thing. Harmony is rooted in love and found where there is true unity. We will not avoid conflict, but biblically address it. We are seeking to keep egos under control, be quick to forgive one another, show respect for both leaders and followers to avoid controversy, but biblically confront divisiveness when necessary. We got to be a people of harmony. Otherwise, what does the world see? And when there's differences, deal with them. Seventh one, participation. We will be the people of grace. We encourage people of grace to be involved in some level of ministry. From greeters at the door to those who may wish to teach and everything in between, there are wonderful ways that everyone should be involved at grace. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Every single person who believes in Jesus Christ has been given a gift that is used corporately to benefit the body. Where are you using your gift? Maybe you don't know where your gift is. We can solve that. Where's your passion? What do you desire? What does God do within you? There's ways to know, and you should know, because you should be involved. I don't nag much. But you know what? You got to be involved. And it's up to leaders to encourage and to show and to usher you into that, because that's where your growth in Christ is going to take place, not just in showing up and leaving each Sunday. Biblically, every believer in Christ is a minister, and every believer has been given a gift to utilize it in the fellowship, which is the eighth core value, fellowship. Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. I'm not a alarming type of person, but man, I see end time stuff swirling. Things of Syria, Middle East, you know, things of how Christian faith is looked upon in this country. And it's not looked upon with great favor, people. We are almost living out the time of the people in Jerusalem, where they began in good favor with the people in Jerusalem, but they ended up being dispersed with the persecution. How equipped are you ready? How equipped are you to endure persecution? And I will tell you, if you're not involved in the fellowship, if you're not involved in knowing what happens in the body of Christ, you're not equipped. And when the persecution comes, guess what? You're going to fall away. Because you're not strengthened. You don't have someone to call upon and say, hey, this happened to me today. Or I just dumping your heart or making yourself vulnerable to somebody. That's what fellowship is about, the building up of the body of Christ, because I tell you, it's coming. I read, Pastor Roland sent me a little note this week about an article that soon people who want to do baptisms in a river or a lake that's nearby are going to have to get permits to do so. That's not a joke. That's a reality, people. We don't have a baptismal here. If you have a solid wall, by the way, doesn't move. We rely upon the grace of another church to use their baptistry. It will now become a legal requirement to do it out in public, where it before was no problem. There are certain restrictions that Christian counselors have and what they can say to their people if they come with certain problems, because it's not politically correct to tell them it's wrong, even though God's word says it's wrong. You're not going to understand that unless you come in the fellowship. My job is not to make you feel really good. My job is to teach you what God's word says so you're able to go out there and stand. That's what the fellowship is about. We need fellowship. And to neglect this time to just blow it off or whatever it is, I tell you, I got to be in the hospital for me not to be here. And even then, it's kind of iffy. I can just pull those tubes out. Having those little racks, you know, with a bottle on it. Close my back up, you make sure. Because I love to be here. It's not because I'm a pastor, because when we got married, I was in ministry. But that was a priority in our lives. It was a priority in the lives of our children. Because you need to see that. Fellowship. Stewardship is the ninth core value. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this. Test me now in this, the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Let me tell you what stewardship is not, and this promise in Malachi is not. You give the tithe and you hear the voice, 13, 45, 33. All the numbers of the lotto that's going to come out. That's not what God's talking about. He's not going to give you the jackpot. But he will give you the peace of heart and mind of knowing that you are supplying for the work of this church. Because that's the only resource we have. I never guilt people. In fact, we tell guests, don't give. Don't want your money. In fact, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, don't give. Because it's not about giving. It's first about receiving Christ as your Savior. Then you understand what giving's all about. We will teach biblical stewardship. Stewardship involves not only our finances, but our times, our talents, our resources. Understand that stewardship will radically transform people into living secure lives in Christ and achieving the true financial freedom that they seek, because He is first. Does God want you poor? Not necessarily. But the Word also says, blessed are the poor. God knows. Sometimes we don't trust God to meet our needs. I didn't for many, many years. But when you understand it, there's no other way to live. We had hoped when we started out, and when I had first given this message a few years ago, actually about 6 years ago, to on the fifth Sunday, which are four of them in a year, to have a benevolence collection at the end of the service. And that benevolence collection would be saved, set apart, not for the general purpose of the church, but for those who would be in need. And we're talking about breakdowns. We're talking about water being shut off. We're talking about those things which are emergencies that a person in this body just would have no need, no resources for, and nothing in the community. We still haven't started that yet, because we haven't gotten our general fund to the point where we can feel confident that people would not, well, I'll just give my tithe then to the benevolence fund, because that's important. Yes, it is important, but so is the general giving. But I'll tell you this, out of the general giving, we've helped people with water bills. We've helped people with car repairs. We've helped people with whatever it is. I don't think I can think of anything on one hand of times that we said, no, we can't help you. We can't help the community, but we certainly have helped each and every time the people in this body when they've come to us. And sometimes the giving is far more than they've ever given to the church. But that is not the important thing. Let's see. Okay, you've given this. Oh, I can help you this far, but this far I can't do it. We've never judged the giving, but we've helped. Because we desire as leaders in the church to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And we trust Him that whatever we give, it's made up. We test God in that all the time. Stewardship is important for grace to function properly. And we trust God to work upon the hearts to show that. And here too, there's biblical insight. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I will leave that. The last one, the 10th one, core value, evangelism. Remember, they're not in any order of importance, evangelism. Romans 10:14, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Evangelism is the ambition to teach and reach all the people of the with the good news of Jesus Christ. We do that with reaching out. You saw those little dresses hanging as you walked in? Those are sundresses made out of pillowcases that the ladies gathered on Saturday to do. Joyce, a lady that lives in the same building with Terry Elliott, had already made some on her own, hearing about this, and she was here on Saturday. She couldn't be here today because she's had like 45 surgeries and was in so much pain. She wanted to come, but she couldn't do physically. That's reaching the world with evangelism by providing a need for these kids who have nothing in Haiti. They're destined to go to Haiti. The peanut butter we collect, they're destined to go to Haiti. There's evangelism we can do in the world, but there's a lot to do here, people. Flint is an evangelistic mission ground. It is, and there are people that know nothing about Jesus Christ. You may be the only thing that connects them to this person who lived 2,000 years ago. It is at the very heart of why grace exists. It didn't exist so that gruntled sheep can come here, come as you are, and be disgruntled. It came for a purpose to teach truth in a way that didn't matter about dress, didn't matter about your past. I'm talking to a guy that has spent half of his life in prison for a mistake he made when he was 17. And I said, come on here. Come here. He said, well, and he was recommended by a former deacon up in Midland. He says, is it because of me or is it because of the recommendation of Ken Bennett. I said, it's because of God. Because God has called us to heal hearts and let them know who he is. People, that's a tremendous opportunity. A man who doesn't know how to function in this world. Now, are we mindful? Are we careful? Yeah, absolutely. But we're also welcoming. Are we regarded? Absolutely. But we can still draw him in and to show him a different way. The man loves Christ, by the way. But he's never experienced church. What type of church will he see? We should be a people seeking creative ways to reach out locally in our community as well as globally, involving ourselves in the efforts of other people to help bring people to Christ as well. We're not territorial. Let me end with a verse that I speak every week. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Our Lord says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, because this age will end at one time. The church age will come to an end. The tribulation will begin. We need to be prepared for that. We need to be a church that understands and teaches that. I met a guy this last week. I bought something off from Craigslist, and we got talking at his house, you know, and he writes end times books. And it's really, he writes an end times survival for the tribulation and spells it all out biblically, what's happening, what will happen step by step by step by step. It's really interesting. And he offers it for free online. And he tells people that in his site to download it, print it off, and leave it on your coffee table. Because if you're a believer and the rapture comes, you're gone. Book stays. And a person who just might pick that up, wondering where you went to, and find out. Matthew 28, the Great Commission is what it's all about. The never-ending commission to serve and build the kingdom. It is a commission that does not end, forever repeats the process until one day when Christ returns. Core values can help keep us on track to be the church that God has called us to be. These are not keys for church growth, but keys to a church that wants to grow. Understand the heart of that. Understand the importance of that position, what it is. No church is perfect, by the way, and grace is no exception. But we will worship and learn from and serve a God who is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these values given to us to live by, to grow by, to grow in respect to the formality and the form of Christ, Father, to be more Christ-like in this world, that people might see you by what we say, what we do, and who we are. Lord, may we be mindful of these things, knowing that it's tough, it's hard, but you said that you will always be with us to help us, to encourage us, living with us in each and every moment, desiring the very best for us in all that there is. Thank you. May we be mindful of these things, Father, as we go forward from this place. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us to go in your grace, that we might extend grace to those who need it most this week. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us. And we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.